The Defense Business Board says the Pentagon can reduce its spending by $125 billion by getting rid of contracts, offering early retirements, modernizing its business operations, and other recommendations. The board looks specifically at large commercial firms like Lockheed Martin and Pepsi as inspiration for how to modernize the Pentagon's business portfolio. Steve Grundman is the Lund Fellow at the Atlantic Council, former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Industrial Affairs and Installations, and says the Pentagon might think twice before they look at large companies as an example of how to do business. Steve, thanks for coming on the program this afternoon. What are some of the differences? You talked in a Defense News article about the Defense Business Board recommendations about risk in particular. What are some of the differences between how the military, the Pentagon, has to think about risk and the way commercial companies do it? Thanks for coming on, Steve.
You're welcome. The point, which I think is a simple one, but hopefully not simplistic, is that a lot of the commercial businesses that the Defense Business Board was using to benchmark the DoD's performance are not businesses that bear the same performance requirements that the Pentagon often does. And the perhaps glib way I put it in the article was, you know, the worst thing that some of these commercial businesses have to face if they fail, in other words, if they bear a risk, for example, that shakes out badly, is they lose money. Or maybe they lose the brand, or they lose the alliance of some of their customers. In the Pentagon, particularly in the supply and logistics lane, where the Defense Business Board's recommendations claim the most money can be made, right? Again, not to overstate the matter, but there's a lot more at risk than just money. There are, you know, ultimately and genuinely lives and other matters that are more valuable than money at risk that need, you know, that and therefore in some instances these business processes need a different standard of measure than the strict commercial standard of measure that I think was the fundamental premise of the Defense Business Board's report.
The idea of that then impacts decision-making inside the Pentagon. How? Especially when I'm thinking about the pricing of the risk, because I'm not sure, I think folks have a good sense of analyzation of risk. I'm not sure that people have an awareness of pricing of risk or whether it happens inside the Defense Department and how it happens inside DoD.
Well, you know what? I don't think it's done well. So on the one hand, I might be critical of the Defense Business Board. I am critical of the Defense Business Board for taking these sort of top-down commercial benchmarks and applying them somewhat uncritically, I think, to the Department of Defense's business operations on the one hand. On the other hand, it must be said that the Pentagon as an institution, the Department of Defense, is not good at really understanding the relationship between cost and risk, and consequently, and culturally, they revert to risk aversion, which is costly. So I'm hardly saying I would not suggest that the Pentagon could not do much better in the management of and contracting for and staffing of its business processes. They could, and one of the fundamental tools by which they could achieve efficiency actually would be to have a much finer grasp of the relationship between cost and risk, which they don't. So I think my answer to your question is it ain't great. I don't mean to imply by my criticism of the DBB that the Pentagon has made a careful, finely tailored calculus of risk and price and they've got it just right. They don't, because the tools for understanding the relationship between what they're paying for things and the risk they're bearing for them is not great.
What do you think would improve that, Steve?
I mean, it's tough. It's an analytical question. Which in one respect, you know, the relationship, the elasticity, if you will, between what you pay and the risk that you're bearing, or conversely, the performance and the performance standard that you're achieving, is is tractable to a degree, tractable in the sense that you can analyze it and make sense of it to a degree. But the problem with those sort of analyses is that, you know, there's a degree beyond which it is, you know, the last, in other words, the last 10%, if you will, mm-hmm. of that calculation is really hard to discern, you know, the measures of risk. And by the way, this problem is not too much different in business than it is in government. You know, the last 10% of understanding of that relationship between cost and risk is really hard to see and know.
Steve Grundman of the Atlantic Council is my guest. He's former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Industrial Affairs and Installations, and looking at the pricing of risk and some recommendations from the Defense Business Board. So all of those issues of risk and pricing and understanding the costs and all of that, how does that then more broadly, do you think, bring you to the conclusion that you've discussed already a little bit about the recommendations of the DBB?
I guess I'd have a couple thoughts in particular. One is, you know, the recommendation suggested that by saving between 4% and 8%, or improving the productivity is the measure they used, of this whole range of business processes in the Pentagon, that you could save between 4% and 8%. Or you could increase productivity by 4% to 8%, which saves somewhere between, at 4%, $75 billion over 5 years, and at 8%, $150 billion. That's a heady headline that I think just plain overstates what's feasible to achieve in the period of time that they're talking about, because they're talking about trying to achieve those savings beginning in fiscal year 16, which is just 6 or 8 months from now, right? So I think that there is and my concern might be that by throwing such a big number and such a big target out there, that the problem actually doesn't get worked on because it seems too impractical. You know, the idea that you can save $25 billion by implementing some of these practices so quickly. So instead, I wish they would target a more somewhat feasible number. In other words, if somebody said, "Can I improve the efficiency? You know, can the Pentagon improve the productivity of its business processes by 3%?" Beginning a couple years from now. Maybe that sounds unambitious, but I would say it's hardly unambitious, and that is feasible. That ought to be feasible. So I wish they had targeted a somewhat more tractable, achievable goal. And then the other thing is, back to the point about risk, is I wish they had targeted the initiatives on purely commercial type practices, rather than washing them across the whole range of different business processes, from supply chain and logistics up to, you know, healthcare management. I wish they'd been a little bit more discerning in where they targeted these practices, because some of them, and again, supply chain and logistics is the biggest of them and the one that most closely touches our operating forces, I think it is going to be hard to make a simple application of commercial practices onto, whereas others, healthcare management perhaps, could be quite amenable to the application of commercial practices. On the other hand, the scale of the bogey, if you will, that's available from healthcare management is really quite small, all things considered.
Steve, is it possible that those numbers oversimplify it and make people think, well, if we just cut by 8%, we've got the problem licked?
You know, that's you're suggesting, I think, a further concern or problem with putting a big number out there like this, and that is, in the big debate over the national fiscal debate over, for example, whether the Congress should appropriate money to the levels that the administration has requested in fiscal year 16, which would take another $35 billion, I think, is the number roughly above the level of spending, the caps that are permitted by the Budget Control Act. This I think runs the risk, at least in some quarters of Capitol Hill, of saying, heck, if there's $75 billion out there to save over 5 years, then how hard, you know, how badly do they really need this $35 billion increment in 16 and I think maybe 30 and 25 and 20 in the successive years beyond that. I think it unhelpfully contributes to that debate.